to squirrel hunt. I don't know where anybody, how many ever went squirrel hunting? Oh my, what part of Kentucky you from anyhow? And there's no hunting like it, nowhere at all. And we hunt squirrels with 22 rifle, 50 yard shot, eye shots. And we just don't get too many squirrels, but we have a great time when I go on vacation. And one day down there, it was, the fall was real dry 2 years ago, and we was camping out, hadn't took a bath in a couple weeks, and beard all over her face and squirrel blood. We were a mess. But I was relaxing from meetings, kind of getting away back into nature. I always see God in his nature, watching his provided way. Hallelujah. Notice. And then it got so dry when we step in the woods and flat woods, one little break of the leaf, and you talk about Houdini, you being an escape artist. He's an amateur side of one of them squirrels. Gone like that. And to shoot a rifle shot and then an eye. It's a hard thing to do. So Brother Banks said, you know, I know where there's a man's got 500 acres of woods all in the hollers. How many knows what a holler is? All right? And that's down in the valley, like where the water runs through. He said we could get down there and walk. So we went down to see this man. He said the only thing is that this man is an infidel, a very awful unbeliever. Well, we went through fields and everything till we got back to his place. And when we got back to the place where this infidel unbeliever lived, there he sat out under the tree, him and another old man, sitting out there with their hats pulled down, chewing tobacco and spitting like that. So Brother Woods got out of the car and goes over and said, could I squirrel hunt on your place a little while? He said, what's your name? He said, Woods. He said, what Woods are you? And he said, Banks. He said, are you Jim Woods' boy? He said, yes, that was his father. He said, well, any boy or any Jim Woods' people is welcome. Anywhere on my place they want to come. So he said, I brought my pastor along. Could he hunt too? This old fella spit and said, Woods, you don't mean to tell me you got bad enough you have to carry a preacher with you wherever you go. And so I thought it was about time for me to get out of the car. So I got out of the car and walked around there. I said, how do you do? He said, and you're the preacher. I said, yes, sir. And before Brother Woods got a chance to introduce me, why, he said, you know the trouble with you fellas? He said, you're barking up the wrong tree. You know what? A coon dog that barks up the wrong tree, he's a liar, see? And the coon's got away and he ain't barking nothing. So he said, you fellas are barking up the wrong tree, somebody. I said, what do you mean? He didn't believe there was such a thing as God. And he know nothing about it. Well, I thought, now, that old fella isn't bad. He don't mean to be that way. He said, they talk about this and they talk about that. There's nothing to it. I've been right here and I've never seen nothing that looks like it. I look up that way and I don't see nothing. Look this way, don't see nothing. Said, well, you see, the trouble of it is, it's just like people coming to one of the meetings. There's so many trees, you can't see the woods. That's just it. So then he sat there, you know, a little while, and I thought, Lord, if you'll just help me now, maybe we can catch the old fella for the kingdom of God. And there was the apple tree standing there, and the yellow jackets. How many knows what a yellow jacket is? He was there eating on the apples, and I reached down and picked up. I said, can I have one of these apples? I said, help yourself. Yellow jackets are eating them up. So I began to rub it like that. He said, there was one preacher one time here about 3 years ago or four. They come over here to a little town called Atkins. He said, Atkins, a little bitty place where they have a Methodist campground. So this preacher come down from Indiana. And he had that place packed out full of people there for 3 nights and said, old lady, some name up here on the hill, had cancer in her stomach. And said, she got so bad, they couldn't put her on the bedpan no more. They had to use a draw sheet. And said, wife and I go up there twice a day and change her bed for her. Said, doctors gave her up to die. Weeks before that, said, well, nothing could be done. She could hardly speak anymore, couldn't even keep warm water on her stomach. And said, her sister went out to that meeting that night and said, this preacher standing up there, never was in this country before in his life, looked back over the audience and said, this woman sitting back here is named so-and-so. When she left home tonight, she took from a drawer of a dresser on the right-hand side a little handkerchief with a blue figure in it, put it in her pocketbook. If she's got a sick sister, she has a sick sister by the name of so-and-so that lives up here, and she's dying with cancer. Thus saith the Lord, take this handkerchief and go lay it on your sister, and she'll be healed. And said the woman got up out of the chair from where she was sitting and went and laid that handkerchief on that woman. And he said, wow, I thought they had the Salvation Army up there on top of the hill. Said, I never heard so much screaming about 12 o'clock that night. Well, there was a bunch of them up there putting a handkerchief on the old lady, and she was healed just according to the word of the Lord. Got up, jumping all around, shouting, praise the Lord. And said the next morning, wife and I went up there, said it's late, about midnight. We thought the old lady was looking for her dying any minute. Anyhow, we thought that was her children screaming that she'd already passed away. And so we went up there the next morning. There was she and her husband sitting at the table eating fried apple pies and drinking coffee. And said, she does her own work and the neighbor's work. I thought, that's why I'm glad you said that. And Brother Banks started to say, well, that... I said, is that so? He said, yes, it's so. I said, you don't believe that. He said, go right up there and find out. See, he was preaching back to me then. Go right up there and find out. Her name's so-and-so. She lives right around the corner. The other old man sitting there said, that's right. See? I said, you mean that's the truth? He said, well, go find out for yourself. I said, my. I said, what was that guy's name? He said, I don't know. Well, I forget it. Said, some preacher from up in Indiana, he said. I said, yes, sir. And I was eating on that apple, you know, and I said, that's a good apple. I said, oh, yeah. I said, she's a dandy. We can't off of it every year. I said, how old is that tree? Oh, he said, I planted that tree there myself about 50 years ago, something like that. He is 76, I think it was. I said, yes. Uh-huh. I said, I want to ask you a question. And he said, yes, sir. He just got through saying, if that preacher ever comes back here, seemed like he had something on the ball. He said, I'm going to ask him, how did he know that woman is in that shape, and how did he know she's going to be made well? And I said, you say you planted that tree there so long ago? Yes. I said, I want to ask you a question. It's just about the middle of August. We haven't even had a cool night. Why is those leaves dropping off the tree? Boy, he said, the life has left them. Oh, I said, is that right? Oh, what happened to the life? Oh, he says, it went down into the roots of the tree. I said, why did it go down there? He said, well, if it doesn't, it'll die. The winter will kill it. The germ of life can't stay up in this tree here. I said, oh. Well, I said, what causes it to go down before there's any cold spell? Well, he said, it just goes down. And I said, well, now, he said, it's just nature. It just actually goes down. I said, well, if I get a bucket of water and set it out here on that locust stump, well, when fall of the year comes along, will that water go out of the bucket right down the bottom of the stump and next spring come back up bringing up another bucket of water? I said, no. I said, then there's bound to be some intelligence. That tree has no intelligence. It's a tree, a plant. There's got to be some kind of intelligence to cause it to go down to hide its life and then come back up to bring you another bunch of apples. He said, well, you know what? He said, I hadn't thought of it just that way. And I said, I tell you, you think of that, and whenever you can find out the intelligence that says to that tree, drop your leaf, hurry back down into the roots, and stay there, and next spring come back again, when you find what intelligence that directed that tree to do that, I'll tell you what intelligence that told me that woman was dying with a cancer and put the handkerchief on should be healed. He said, you're not that preacher. I said, yes, sir, I am. I'm Brother Randy. He said, that's the name. That old man become a Christian, gave his heart to Christ. Last year, Brother Woods and I were down there, and I drove over to see the old man, and his wife was sitting on the back porch peeling apples off of the same tree, and I come up and talk to her, and she said, Brother Branham, that simple little story led the old brother to Christ. He died in Christian faith a year ago. Amen. Now, what was it? He found God's provided way by looking the way he could provide a way of escape of death of that tree. He found a provided